Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Central Indiana. I want to share with you this morning a recent message from our archives, which will be part one of a two-part series, Differentiate Between Sin and Sins in the Bible. Yes, I said sin singular and sin plural. Please listen and enjoy this message this morning. I want to encourage you to go to church this morning. If you don't have a church home, please join us at Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. What does that mean? That means no man on the face of the earth, no man, no woman, is without the understanding that there is a God. We can ignore it, we can doubt it, man can say it doesn't exist, but God reveals himself in every person's life in some manner, and they should know by the evidences of existence in life and in their being that there is a God in heaven. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Creation itself reveals there's a divine power greater than ourselves in this world. That there is a Godhead, and that we are without excuse. No man will stand before the Lord and say, "Well, I didn't know. I never heard. I didn't understand. That they're going to be without excuse. The evidences are overwhelming that there is a God in heaven. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." It sounds like our universities today. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Okay, man has to have an image to worship. We're so confined to wanting an object to worship and see and look at. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Who changed the truth of God into a lie. What does that mean? Change the truth of God. They have denied creation, denied the distinctiveness of different species, and all of creation, all the species of plants, all the species of animals, and how they're able to reproduce. And they produce the lie that there's no creator, that it has all been evolved, and it came from a big bang, and some primordial soup brought forth life, and that is how everything exists today. So they changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creator more than the creature, more than the creator, who is blessed forever. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or suitable. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, spiritual death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so it talks about the sins in the world. The first four chapters talk about sin. So let's look at our notes now. Salvation is simple in nature, wonderful in scope, dynamic in application. Salvation is simple in nature, wonderful in scope, dynamic in application. The firm foundation of our redemption is based upon the bedrock truths which frame the content of the gospel of God. The scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." Christian growth depends upon a dynamically operative faith. Let's define that word dynamically. What does dynamically mean? Energetic, vigorous, alive. It's a vigorous, energetic faith. Operative. What does operative mean? Effective, usable, elastic means it expands like a rubber band, not static or stationary. Our faith should grow as we grow closer to the Lord. So our Christian growth depends upon a dynamically operative faith, energetic, effective faith that is constantly expanding. An essential ingredient for growing in Christ is a clear understanding of the truth which supports this faith. So what we're going to look at and get an understanding of the difference between sin and sins. Now you're sitting there and saying, well, one singular and one is in the plural tense. So one is singular and one is plural. All you did was just put an S in after the word sin to make it plural. And that is simply obvious. Okay, but there is more to this explanation and more detail that the Lord gives us from the scriptures. So we need to distinguish the meaning between the two as relating to scripture. Sin, singular, in the singular tense, refers to the power within us that motivates us to commit sinful acts. Sins, plural, on the other hand, refer to the individual sinful acts that we commit outwardly. Mankind has a dual problem. God has a dual solution. Mankind has a dual problem. God has a dual solution. And if you've listened to my Bible studies and heard me preach at IBT, I have talked about the twofoldness of divine truth. And I have dealt with that extensively. The twofoldness of divine truth. And we see it in nature, in God's creation. We see it in the scriptures. We have two testaments in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're not two separate Bibles. They're one is part of the other, and without one, you cannot have the other. The teachers taught us years ago in Bible college that the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and the New Testament New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It opens up a lot of more truth that's found in the Word of God in the New Testament. So there's a divine truth. A man and a woman. You can't have procreation without a man and a woman. And what's interesting is woman and from creation came out of the man, but then God brought them back together again and they became one to procreate, to replenish the earth. So the twofoldness of divine truth. Man has a dual problem. God has a dual solution. So what is sin singular? We know that there is something within us that motivates and forces us to have certain spontaneous inclinations. It compels us towards the way of lust and compassion and passion. According to the Bible, this something is sin. Let me read that again. We know that there is something within us that motivates and forces us to have certain spontaneous inclinations. It compels us towards the way of lust and passion. According to the Bible, this something is sin. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 8, But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. There's a word, a big word for us, concupiscence. Not something that just rolls off our lips in everyday conversation. What does concupiscence mean? Lust, unlawful or irregular desire of sexual appetite. In a more general sense, the coveting of carnal things or an irregular appetite for worldly goods. Inclination for unlawful enjoyment. We get that from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. So what Paul is saying, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. What does that mean, sin without the law? What does a baby do when you tell that baby, don't touch? That baby touches, right? That baby touches. You set down the law and said, don't touch. And what does that baby do? It touches. You set the law. If you didn't set the law, then that baby will touch it or not touch it. But there's no law for that baby to break, right? Because you didn't set one down. If God didn't set the law that we have in the Old Testament, sin would be dead, means our sinful nature would be dead. Because we wouldn't know what is right and wrong. There wouldn't be a law laid down, so whatever we do, there's no compass to determine what is right and wrong. But when you have the law, you have the compass of what is right. And we see it in our culture and in our society today. God says, do it this way. What does the culture and society do? They go the other way. Take this particular example. Case in point. God says, execute the murderer. Right? We, for hundreds of years, executed a murderer. We executed a murderer. When he was found guilty or she was found guilty of committing murder, what do? We executed that murderer. That was the law. That was the law. Today, we have compassion on the murderer. God talks about God knowing us before, David teaches that in the book of Psalms, that he knows us before we were born in the womb. What do we do to the innocent baby in the womb? We murder it. The Bible talks about a man rapes a woman, you execute him. Today we want to execute the baby instead of the rapist. That's the sinful nature. God talks about a man and a woman coming together in holy matrimony. What do we want to do in our culture and our society? Bring two men together or two women together in holy matrimony, which is unholy in God's eyes. That's an unholy thing. But that's the nature of man. We see it expanding and proliferating throughout the culture of our society. It's just rampantly, everything that is contrary to the word of God, we do. Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Take the rod to the child before that it's too late. What does society and culture say? Don't spank the child. Don't spank the child. So we have total undisciplined children in the classroom, and you can't train them. They can't be trained. And what does that cause education to do? Plummet and go downhill instead of elevate. So everything, I mean, we could tick them off one at a time, at all the things that God says don't do, and man decides he's going to go across that boundary. So that's what Paul is saying. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Means the sinful nature is dead. It doesn't exist if there's no law to determine what the compass is, the moral compass is. The Apostle Paul also said in Romans chapter 7, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You have a sinful nature, I have a sinful nature, and that sinful nature wants to go in the direction opposite of what is good. What God said is good, what God wants us to do morally and in our lives, the compass, the natural compass of man is to go in the opposite direction. What are sins? You know, if you're lost in the woods and you have a compass and you know if you followed that compass and you went directly east, you would get out of the woods, right? You're not going to go west because you're just going to go deeper into the woods. But our nature is to do the opposite of what God says to get out of the woods. So what are sins, plural? Not only is there this sin within us that forces and compels us, there are also the individual sinful acts, the sins which are committed outwardly. In Scripture, sins, plural, are related to our conduct, while sin, singular, is related to our natural life. Sins, plural, are that which are committed by the hands, feet, the heart, and even the whole body. Sins, and you can put a star next to that, sins, plural, are the deeds of sin, or the sinful nature. So sin, singular, is talking about the sinful nature within us. Sins, plural, are the deeds of sin. Note what Paul speaks of in the following verse, Romans chapter 8. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That is to you and I. That's a directive to you and I that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be the moral compass in our lives and not our own flesh. We need to constantly, Paul said, die to self. Die to the self, our self-will. And let the Spirit of God be the moral compass in our lives. And mortify the deeds of the body. When I got saved, I stopped going, playing sports on the weekend and started going to church. That was the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh for me on a beautiful day like today would be sitting on a sailboat, sailing across the bay or out into the ocean. On a nice cold snowy day, my flesh would like to be on a mountaintop skiing down the powdery slopes. But God took those desires away from me and I saw the importance. And let me tell you, sometimes I don't want to be here. Don't want to get up in the morning and be here on a Sunday morning. I have to fight the flesh just like you have to fight the flesh to get up and come here. Oh, it's a nice morning. I didn't sleep so well in the middle of the night. I got up and got a glass of water. I was thirsty. I had to go to the bathroom 10 times, and I don't feel like going. But you know what? This is God's commandment. Come to church and be in the presence of the Lord and fellowship with one another. We have to fight the flesh. Yeah, I'm the pastor, but sometimes the pastor doesn't want to be in the pulpit. But you got to mortify the deeds of the body. You have to mortify the deeds. Sometimes I don't feel like studying and putting a lesson together. But I got to mortify the deeds of the body. And this is important. The reason here you must do this is because there's a judgment day, the judgment seat of Christ. There's a judgment day. We're going to be judged on if we live in the flesh or we have mortified the deeds of the flesh. That is what they call the walk. Sin is a law that controls our members. There is something within us that compels us to commit sin. To commit evil, this something is sin. Paul said in Romans 7:23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The law of sin wants to oppose the law of God. And there's a war. But Bible says he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You have God within you, dwelling within you. But you got to utilize, you have to allow the Spirit to give you victory over the flesh. We can't feed the flesh. We have to feed the Spirit.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.